Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Taylorford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Billy Begat.
And Josh Brown.
Hello, boys.
Hello, chaps. Now, me and Mr. Josh Brown have both been playing Returnal. Mr. Benroy can finally now say he's been playing a bit of the old Resident Evil Village.
Just a little bit of it, yeah.
Just a little tiny little bit of it. The review should be live by this point that this footage goes out. Yes. Or if you're listening to it on the audio feeds, come across and check out the YouTube review of Resident Evil 8. We'll leave all those thoughts, a majority of those thoughts, in the review itself. Maybe me and Ben will get around to a bit of a chat at the end of this podcast. You never know. But I did think that we would sort of springboard off Returnal, the conversations that are going on around that. Because like, for the longest time, you know, it's been this whole sort of talking point around, is £70/$70 too much for, you know, a newly released title? It's something that's, if you sort of look back last year when it got introduced around the run-up to the new consoles, it was the first time that game prices have gone up in about 15 years. And the $60 price point's been there since about the 90s. And there's a whole bunch of, you know, pros and cons when it comes to increasing the retail price of the average game. And it's not like it's being adopted widespread. It's very much just Sony leading the charge, and you've kind of got Activision and 2K and stuff alongside. But as an opening sort of question, do either of you guys think that £70/$70 is too much for a video game?
A little bit, I think it is. You know, you can make the argument that it hasn't gone up in a long time, but I think ultimately, like, when you're going to spend some money on a product like this, it's just raises the barrier for entry. And I feel like, you know, while a lot of people might be able to afford that, be able to splash out on, you know, a £70 game whenever they want, you know, so many people won't, and it'll only make things like Returnal or, you know, whatever else Sony has in the pipeline that's a little bit risky. That's not a God of War, that's not a Horizon. It'll make those an even more difficult sell, because now you have to pay this premium price point on something that they might not, one, be able to afford, and two, have no belief in. You know, there might not be any reviews, or the reviews might come out late, or they don't know if they want to try the genre and stuff like that. I just think it makes things less, you know, varied. It gives people less choice. And ultimately, I do think it will lead to a lot of people not trying good games just because it's not a major franchise. You know?
That's literally happening right now with Returnal. Like, the opening figures have come back for Returnal. It's number two in the UK charts, but it is behind Pokemon. So it's not like it is up against something that is already extremely popular. But there is already a write-up over on Den of Geek that it's coming in behind the other Sony exclusives so far. But again, you know, they are up against Spider-Man and Demon's Souls, established IP. Returnal is brand new. But that whole conversation around, you know, can you even approach putting a premium price tag as high as 70? I'm just going to go with pounds, £70 on something like Returnal, or is that just a death sentence? Like, it felt like one in the run-up, and now that some of the numbers are coming in, like, I did a very quick poll over on Twitter just to sort of get a feel for, are people actually playing this, whether or not it's through availability of the PS5 or the price tag, and 80% of people out of the 1,000 that have answered so far said they're not even touching it. So it's like the price point could be part of that, but Benroy, what's your thoughts on matching, like, I guess, expectations of a £70 game with what you get?
I'm just going to echo pretty much what Josh has said the whole time. And also, like, if you're going to pull this, you should have pulled this with one of the bigger dogs. I mean, Demon's Souls was
That's the thing. So I wrote some stuff down because we've got, Demon's Souls came out at 70. The Ultimate Edition of Spider-Man was 70. Spider-Man Miles Morales was 70. And then, you know, since then, it's been Oddworld Soulstorm and Destruction All-Stars, but obviously they were both PS Plus. So Returnal was the sort of like, that was them demoing the model again. And a lot of the conversation around, you know, whether or not these games are worth 70, that was kind of hung on Ratchet and Clank, which we can get to in a little bit. But with Returnal being this kind of quirky, kind of one-off, you know, it's Housemarque, but they're doing like an over-shoulder shooter. It's not what they're known for, and it is a new IP. I feel like it's kind of worked completely against that game.
I mean, it's one of the major reasons I'm holding off. Sure, it's only 10 more English pounds, but the thing is, those 10 more pounds could go to anything else, Marv. But yeah, like, it's so weird that they've picked Returnal, and it's so weird, like, because it's, again, there's not many PS5s out there compared to, like, other consoles, and it's unproven. It's like, for the most part, like in the wider sphere, no one knows who Housemarque are, really, right? No. It's like, how many people, like if you were to poll, like, know what Resogun is and other games like that? That's not a knock towards them, but it's not a name like a God of War, or say you'd go for the Horizons or Last of Us. And like, say, when those games come out, like when Horizon comes to both, is the PS5 Horizon going to be 70 and the PS4 going to be cheaper? Vice versa. And are they going to do the thing where every game has that weird upgrade that you can do anyway? So, I mean, like Resident Evil is not going to be 70. It's 54, 50 around on the internet. So, like, and that game is, it's worth the money you pay for it, sort of thing, I would say. So I just don't, it's so weird how some of these other bigger names are just staying around. You've only got certain games that are going for at the moment, and it feels like this push that is half baked. And if they see anything like, say, where like a Sony Bend was slightly screwed by Sony business before, I hope Housemarque don't get screwed in the same way, where then they get relegated to some sort of like naughty step, and then they have to work on The Last of Us Factions Remake 7 or something like that.
Yeah, like I briefly mentioned in the podcast last week that it's almost feels like Sony's, you know, projecting this kind of like self-fulfilling prophecy, where they're saying, you know, people don't want like these unproven things. We're just going to push ahead with our big exclusives, our big franchises and stuff. And that will start coming true if this price point puts people off, you know, buying into these new things or experimenting around, you know, just from like a personal kind of like anecdote. I remember when we were buying our launch games, you know, and there was a bunch of stuff coming out, and I was, you know, talking to you guys about Godfall for quite a while, and I was thinking, I'm going to give this game a go. I'm going to, you know, jump in. I want some next-gen games. This is a next-gen exclusive. I want it to blow me away, but I didn't want to take a risk for £70. Like, once that drops, I'll give it a go. But at that point, you know, buying the PlayStation, buying Miles Morales, buying Demon's Souls, like, the cost of entry was already pretty damn high. So to then think about throwing down another £70 on a game that, you know, critically came out to like 6 out of 10s, some 7 out of 10s, stuff like that. Ultimately, you know, people saying it's not a must buy, it made me kind of recede. And now I don't know if I'll ever play Godfall, but if that was, you know, just the regular price from last year, I might have been more inclined to give it a go because it was a launch title after all. And I think, you know, like Roy was saying, when Sony has these big franchises, it's going to work out for them. They're going to make more money than ever. Like the Last of Us Part 3, God of War 2, Horizon Forbidden West, they're going to make more money in part because obviously the desire for those games is there, but now they're getting an extra $10 on top of it. But ultimately, while the ceiling for those games might get higher, it's going to get lower for, I think, stuff like Returnal or, you know, anything else they have planned.
Yeah, I have a wider question too. Do you think that a lot of the conversations around, you know, Sony as a brand, like going into the next generation, like, you know, Jim Ryan at the start of 2020, when everyone was sort of talking about, like, because, you know, you flash back a whole year, we hadn't even seen the system. Like, it was that whole idea of like, what are they doing? Are they having all these manufacturing problems? Are they actually going to be able to bring systems out? Is it all going to get delayed or whatever? And I'm sure it was Jim Ryan. It was definitely one of the Sony top people who was like, just wait until the console comes out and wait till the games and it'll all fly. And I think that in the run up to the console releases, those crucial couple of months beforehand, when they brought in this £70 thing, it was very much hubristic Sony. It was PS3 era Sony. It was, you'll pay this because we're PlayStation, and, you know, these are the games you want, this is the price tag, done. And like I said, there's been other sort of companies that have followed suit, but I feel like in the months since then, when the way the generation's panned out, where it's been a little bit weird with the amount of, you know, availability of the systems and the conversations around Sony and how many different balls they've dropped across the last sort of month or so. And it's just, I don't know if you've noticed, but the amount of new trailers they've put on their PlayStation channel, they've just been trying to get a lot of good will again. And I kind of wonder if, that I said that, that sort of hubristic, full of themselves style Sony is actually something that was more, they were more self-assured last year. And that's just, a £70 price tag is actually maybe going to have to go away because they're going to end up sacrificing so many games to it in the long run.
They believe in generations, right? But
they do.
I think the rumors are flying around that Godfall's coming to like last gen, or at least it's going to flow around somewhere else. And the only thing they believe in generations is if you're playing, it takes two, for example, if you want to use a PS5 controller and a DualShock 4, you've just got to download the PS4 version because it just doesn't want to. That's the way it believes in generations, and it's only believing in like the weirdest and most awkward ways. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, if you were to get two people playing that on Xbox, you could just both use any Xbox controller from the beginning of the Xbox One. Mm-hmm. It's just like things like that that are just little chinks in the armor as we go along, and with Godfall being just, well. Who have you seen mention Godfall apart from Josh Brown since the game?
I did when it very first came out, but even I didn't get that far through it. I thought it made a good first impression, and that was it.
And then it just died on the vines, right? And then it's been for a launch game on a system which didn't have many games, like many fresh things on there. Like it's Spider-Man and Demon's Souls, but there's things where, like, we've had Spider-Man's before, and Demon's Souls is a remake of a great game before. Mm-hmm. But like the fact that game didn't make the massive splash then.
I looked at, like, obviously wider stuff, like you said, there's Godfall, there's NBA 2K21, obviously, if you're a basketball fan, the NBA 2K series. Yeah, it's available on Xbox. But also, you know, like, just the fact that game's always going to have a player base. But Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, the first Call of Duty to be £70, I think, still hasn't had the tail on it. And I know the Black Ops Cold War is in the shadow of Modern Warfare anyway. But you could also point to the price and just say, well, people aren't prepared to pay this because it is just going to affect the amount of games that can be made to be hung on that price point. I guess there's another wider question as well. Like, when you think of a £70 price tag, does something like Returnal fit that? Do you guys have like a sort of assumption of what kind of game you're getting? And does that, if we think of that from a marketing standpoint or from a publisher standpoint, is that then going to affect which titles get greenlit? You sort of touched on that before, Josh, but like could absolutely just go, well, that's not going to bring in seven. Like, you're never going to get a Returnal 2 at this point, especially if their canon day is gone.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that's definitely like an element of it, because it narrows, you know, what people view as kind of like value in games, and it centers the conversation around stuff that I think can be quite reductive or unhelpful to the larger discussion of games criticism or whatever. You know, like, you look at like the Returnal reviews and it's a bunch of people saying, well, this isn't worth £70. Like, why is this worth £70? And obviously that's a very valid question, but then that becomes all people talk about, that becomes the only point of discussion. That's going to be the title of this video because it's the salient point. But is that extra £10 worth all the hassle it brings? I don't think it is. But when it comes to like the core value of Returnal specifically, I personally do think it's, you know, worth that money. Funnily enough, I didn't until I tried it, you know, before like the reviews came in, before we got our codes and stuff. I was potentially going to hold off, maybe wait for a drop in price, see how the reviews did. Mm. It was only by playing it myself where I thought, like, wow, like I think this is excellent. I think this is worth the money. I think a lot of people should play it, give it a go. But that's a hard sell if you're on the other side, if you haven't had a chance to experience it. Like Benroy, for instance, you know, waiting for it to come down before you try something new. Mm-hmm. I think if you look at Returnal in its core aspects, like the length of it, the production values, the, you know, just how solid like the gameplay is, how solid the shooting is, how solid the combat is, I do think it's a quality product. But we're again in this kind of like weird position where you have to convince people much more than you would if it was just regular price, because you have to like justify that price point, because it is a really steep price point. So it comes with all of these kind of, you know, negatives and all of these boxes that you have to take off. Yeah, it's this amount of hours. Mm-hmm. It looks like this. It's got like all of this replayability and stuff. It's got all of these branching weapons, all of these branching things. And it ultimately becomes almost like a check listing exercise of, well, it has all this stuff, therefore it is worth $70. And I think that's just kind of like rote, and things aren't going to hit that. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said at the beginning, you know, you're going to get this narrower view of what is worth full price, and that won't only just be reflected in people buying things, it'll be reflected in people greenlighting things as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to very quickly throw a little quote in from Sean Layden, the former PlayStation Worldwide Studios head, essentially the dude before Jim Ryan, who said after departing, he was speaking to GamesIndustry.biz, who said, I would welcome a return to the 12 to 15 hour AAA game. I would finish more games first of all, and just like a well-edited piece of literature or a movie, looking at the discipline around that could give us tighter, more compelling content. One of the biggest conversations like around the increased price tag is that game development budgets are skyrocketing and they need to try and match that in regards to, you know, making sure that a game recoups its budget or making sure that we can continue doing games of that size. But Layden was, you know, just addressing on the face of it that not every game needs to be the biggest, most over the top thing possible. And that actually, you know, that gets away from a wider variety of titles in a medium, in a genre, etc.
And I think you shoot yourself in the foot doing that, man, because like if we just you know value something by its length, by its wrote our count, we'll get something like Days Gone, which I really liked, but Days Gone is a complete bloated mess, especially in its back half hour. You'll get like the new Assassin's Creed where you know it's quantity over quality, and then people will look at tight 10 to 15 hour experiences and then make the judgment that they're not worth, you know, £70 or whatever. I know there's been a big stink kicked up over the weekend about the length of Resident Evil Village. Apparently that's only like 12 hours or something. You know, I'm sure Ben Roy will have more to say about that, but you know, people were kicking off about that, about why should they buy it full price. And it's, to me, it's like, well, that doesn't, just because something comes in, it clocks in less hours than a Days Gone or a Assassin's Creed or something, doesn't mean that the value isn't there. You have to take into account replayability. You have to take into account the quality of the story that's being told, the quality of the experience, not just, am I going to get 80 hours out of this? But at the same time, I can sympathize with people thinking that way because they've almost been, you know, told to think that way over the past few years, especially when prices keep getting, you know, higher, or if the prices aren't getting higher until now, the in-game prices are getting higher because you don't necessarily get a complete experience until you've bought into all the battle passes, if you've bought into all the DLCs, expansions, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So they're paying a lot of money and they expect a lot out of it. So I do sympathize in that sense that you're spending £70 on something, you want it to be, you want to get your value out of that. And this is also in an era, you know, where things are coming out completely broken. There's no trust that something is actually going to play well at launch. So there's that factor to think about as well. But yeah, for me, I want to see a return or at least a balance between these big open world epics and these more tight, you know, well-told 12 to 15 hour experiences, you know, maybe return on a blockbuster level.
Returnal's price point in a sec. But yeah, Ben Roy, what's your thoughts like from the question I asked Josh before? Like, what do you think of when you think of a £70 price?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Bye. Hey, if every game was the length of The Last of Us, or every game was 80 hours, I'd be dead. I was thinking about The Last of Us 2 again. When I beat it for the third time, I was like, what have I done to myself again? But also, it's just so damn long in certain aspects. I don't know whether, I've just looked at the embargo and I can't see anything about saying how long it took me to beat the game, but okay, it was a comfortable length, right?
And well, this will be going after the review, so
I guess so. Yeah, I didn't turn the review either, to be fair. I'm just too scared.
Secret info for those that stick around.
But I mean, what, Resident Evil 3 was like, I could smash that game in about an hour and a half towards the end when I was running for it 3 or 4 times. Village, I'm just going to wave my hands here in case I need to edit out. Village took me 10 hours to beat, right? And that's 10 hours on the clock, though, but I'm pretty sure the clock in the in-game is wrong compared to the PlayStation clock, and there's some things going on there, but it felt like about 10 to 12 hours, and that was great. There was so much to that game, there was so much variety, and it wasn't bloated out. Everything was to the point, and it was just such a, I'm going to use the word, it's such a visceral horror experience. I love the word visceral because it's been overused in every, this sandwich is visceral, but it was just such a tight experience. There was no bugs, nothing ever broke, no crashes. It just damn worked for once. Having a package like that was so tight and so well crafted, and just such an enjoyable moment from beginning to end with so much variety and looking as it does like that. I would take that more over than say 80 hours of Days Gone Again, where I enjoyed Days Gone as well, right? But at the same time, you're just like,
okay. Well, that's the thing, right? I think somewhere along the line, I don't know if it was a corporately mandated thing, maybe it's a test audience thing, maybe it's based on the amount of consumer data that different publishers can access now. But somewhere along the way, the idea of making sure you get your money's worth came from sheer length. And Ubisoft are a prime example of that. I mentioned the Assassin's Creed games before, because their average finish time is 150 to 200 hours, especially across Origins and especially Odyssey. And Valhalla is an absolute beast as well. But it's just I fundamentally disagree with that. I would take a more pristine 10-hour experience. Maybe not. That's the thing. Maybe not for £70. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It depends how well.
Village is 54, and also the Resident Evil games have always been designed to be replayed, right? I'm going through now with some little fun gimmicks that you always get after you play the first Resident Evil, and now it's a different experience there. And then there's the mercenary modes, which is a lot more fleshed out than I would have expected it to be. That is also a side thing that's going to just be a fun little arcade romp at the same time. But you're going to get your money's worth out of this. I might lose the fight when it comes to the Resident Evil 3 thing. That was a bit short. Imagine if that was £70. That was 50 as well. But
I guess, in general, that idea of what's the shortest length is there a minimum length that a game should hit if they're going to sell it for £70? Returnal's structure is built, it's a roguelike, so it's built on replaying stuff, it's built on restarting. You get the time invested because you are restarting, unless you're the Adonis Josh Brown and you burn through it on your second life. But for the most part, you're going to be restarting and getting through it across a number of lives. It's really weird because I personally don't think it's worth £70, but I also haven't seen all of it yet. So it's I've died to the third boss twice, and I've been kicked back to the start, and I raged out and thought, nope, and just left and went to take some photos of Pokemon to recover. But it's weird if you talk about that idea of how do we sort of calculate what is worth £70. For me, there's something about the Returnal, the core experience, that because it is so tile-based and biome-based, and you're restarting this arcadey set of mechanics, it doesn't have that extra pristine layer of narrative, storytelling, acting. I don't know, this extra stuff that I would say Uncharted, Last of Us, these other exclusives do. And it's weird. Obviously, every reviewer is going to have their own way of breaking that stuff down. But I think that maybe factors in on their end as well. Maybe it doesn't. It doesn't, because they've charged 70 for this. And then, Ben Roy mentioned earlier, the Horizons, the God of Wars, they feel more naturally worth £70. But that's because I'm adding this invisible layer of extra premium thing on the top.
That's it, right? That's what I was kind of like getting at when I was talking earlier about like the discussion becoming centered around this one thing. And in my opinion, I think it's quite reductive, because then we get into these arguments over what this nebulous element of pristine actually is. And that's going to change depending on like each person and what £70 is worth to them and how much, you know, that means.
It's like
to them,
what makes a 5-star review, like that extra thing.
Kind of, yeah. It's like what's the difference between like a 4.5-star review and a 5-star review? Like you said, it's often like this weird thing that you can't quite place, this overall cohesiveness, this overall level of transcendence that will change depending on the reviewers. You know, I can come in and say, yeah, Returnal's worth £70 because of the length, because of the quality of my opinion and stuff, but then someone else could easily go, well, that didn't have this weird element of, you know, shine to it that Last of Us had, which I can, you know, fully agree with to an extent. I do know what you're getting at when you say that, you know, obviously there's a element of production value that a game like The Last of Us inherently comes with, because it's just, you know, it wears its money on its sleeve, you know, and the amount of people working on top of that. But it's at the same time, it opens up an entire other conversation about whether that encourages, you know, the crunch conditions and stuff, and all of these people working overtime to make that a thing in the first place. So I just feel like it becomes this kind of like nebulous conversation where we're chasing what that extra £10 means. And it's like an extra £10 at the end of the day. And like I say, that's why I think Sony's shooting themselves in the foot with that, because that becomes the conversation. It doesn't become whether or not Returnal is good, or, you know,
well, I was
what
thinking that playing it. Like I'm playing through it going like, oh, I don't know about the £70 price tag. And it's like, That both is the most important thing, because that's the most upfront cost, and is also the least important thing, because it's the one element of the game that's not going to stick. It'll be discounted in the next few months regardless.
Games do get discounted so much, right? But then like it's always weird. But then if we're also frugal about £10, why are we? It's like, if you can't, is it you can't afford it, and you get into these all in economics thing, like I simply won't buy it because I don't want to pay that much for it, and I'm going to be living in a village until I finally play Mass Effect and a few weeks. And like,
do you think you would have bought it if you didn't have Resident Evil or Mass Effect around the corner? If this was the only game that was out this month, would the £70 still put you
if
on?
There was no Mass Effect, I would have bought it, yes,
right?
Like, I mean, like, at the same time, if it had come out at launch, I would have not even questioned it. I would have had, you're getting in my pocket, your mind, sort of thing. But like, they also, I don't get why everyone doesn't just, I mean, I do get it because I'm not a business person and you can't just shift things around like that. But like, sometimes you look at release schedules, I mean, like Sony, we're Sony. But at the same time, when you look at where Returnal's sort of placed between that, Village and Mass Effect soon, it's like, for me, there's no competition with those games. And like, it's only going to get worse. Like, think when we're going to get a few £70 games come out like the end of this year and next year, when everything comes out and we're overwhelmed and we just want to like hide because there's so much to play. Like, it's going to be a bloodbath, and people are going to get screwed over like a Sony bend, even though their game sold really well, but it just didn't hit another marker.
I mean, you know, you bring up a good point, like with these games releasing so close to each other and inviting those direct comparisons. I know, like, obviously, you know, now we're in the gaming industry, we talk about games for our job, you know, we've got a, you know, a nice financial security here where we can buy these games, we can go from game to game. But I know if I was, you know, a little bit younger in uni or younger, you know, when I'm getting 1-2 games a year, if I'm looking at Returnal at £70 and Resident Evil 8 Village at 55, right? You know, even if Resident Evil is shorter, that's the brand I know. That's the game I have a fondness for, and it's cheaper. So I'm going to get that every single time. You know, I'm going to get that every single day of the week rather than spending more on something that is unproven. And that is unfortunate for Returnal and people who, you know, worked in it and how much of a great game that is. But if the economic realities of it is, if I'm in that position, I'm going to gravitate to the thing that I know, you know, for better or worse.
We'll also say as well that, like, you know, obviously Sony want to push these price points. They do want to, like, you know, that if they could attach a £70 price point to everything they're putting out under the PlayStation Studios name, I'm sure they would. But I think it's also, it's like a weird talking point that they've sort of just dumped Destruction All-Stars and dumped Oddworld onto PS Plus. Oddworld is a way more complete game than Destruction All-Stars, but there's still a lot of PS2 era DNA in that game. Like, it feels notably old school in a way that makes it lovable and charming to people who grew up across that era. But I think if they charged, Ben, you probably back this up, but if they charged £70 for Soulstorm, I think there would be maybe a riot on the collective hands.
Yeah, I mean, I just said to my friends that I'd probably spend like It's just fan the minute. Like, I would probably spend like 50 on Oddworld. Like, I got 23 hours out of that game. But at the same time, you could see like Oddworld wouldn't make the £70 like price point.
Right.
And like a Destruction All-Stars, that game is already dead. And if it came out at £70, it would be even deader. Like it would be, you would be pushing it into graves, like with the ET copies. Like you can't, it would have been the bloodbath for that game. And I'm sorry if anyone who's worked on it is even listening. That's the thing. Like, but come on, like it's always, you're trying to work out like how things happen. And I think it's just like sometimes business somewhere does the business wrong. And then, and it looks towards that. It maybe we'd do the Last of Us remake. And like, is that going to come out of £70?
Like, but it's like, it's almost like they're acknowledging on the Sony side. Like I said earlier, like they've sort of had to change this hubristic approach to be like, no, there are some things that we can't just be completely, we are Sony about. Like, if, like I said, if it attached a £70 price tag to either of those games, they would have been dragged for it. And that's a weird reflection on the production quality, the length of those games, how threadbare something like Destruction All-Stars is, and the microtransaction elements that maybe offset a premium price point. And to sort of like, you know, I throw that in, Ratchet and Clank is going to be the next game that'll be the £70 price point. But a lot of the conversation around that, and it's not something I agree with, is that because it's a platformer, it automatically isn't up there with the 70. It can't be like, you know, it's not up there in this weird nebulous quality with the Uncharted, with the Last of Us. And I don't agree with that at all. I think, you know, if you think your game is worth 70, then go for it. I think my issue with Returnal is more to similar to do with the marketing and to do with like the core of it and things like that.
It's weird because I'm really not feeling Sony stuff at the moment, because I'm not into like I like it more than Jack and Daxter. There's a reason we don't have Jack and Daxter anymore, and then he's dead.
I can't believe you found
it because Naughty Dog saw the light and made far better products. But Ratchet and Clank for me, they've always, as an ignorant human, it's always like poor person's Crash Bandicoot, you know what I mean? Like, I just wanted more Crash Bandicoots. And there were these games that I could see enjoying that I would play, but I think I'm just over.
Picking that apart. Is there something about like the genre that just goes like that? I just don't want to put £70 towards that because I know I'm not going to get as much out of it as a premium feel.
It's weird, isn't it? Because like if it was a Spyro or Crash, it somehow had its tendrils in me, because I feel like Ratchet and Clank's probably, you've enjoyed the most part of them, all of them, right? Or
what, the 2016 one?
The series in general, like
2016 was really solid. Yeah, I mean, it's coming off like a really well-known, well-regarded entry.
And these things look like playable, like Pixar games, Pixar movies for the most part, and they look lush. But at the same time, it's just like there's just this like invisible sort of like but not really. I'm just, I get why people, and I'm trying to be like the sort of like reason out why this is happening, rather than just being a person like it's a platform. I would probably pay something for that, for a Crash, or I would pay a lot for an Abe.
It carries across, because part of why I don't think Returnal is worth 70 is baked into it being a roguelike. I don't feel like I'm seeing £70 worth of content, but I'm also struggling to beat the third boss and I haven't seen half the game yet. So there is that, but I may also never see that because the genre is directly in the way, but that's a whole separate thing. Josh, what's your thoughts on genres being worth different amounts of money?
Yeah, I think that's where, again, I think that's where we get to sort of like walling off certain things and narrowing our view of value and what should be greenlit. Because I know, you know, even before the £70 thing, a lot of people had this like stick on the shoulder about, I don't know, that's not a thing. The stick on the shoulder. That's not.
It's your predator.
That's nothing, that.
Chip on the shoulder?
You know, chip on your shoulder, yeah. Had a chip on the shoulder about platformers in general. You know, it felt like they were viewed as this very outdated thing, this very PS2, PS1 era thing. And, you know, a lot of people kind of like didn't even want to pay £50 to play like a new platform or something. So to get Ratchet
and Clank, Crash 4 sales were less than Insane Trilogy.
Yeah, totally. Like, you know, Roy was talking about there about like if it was a Spyro and a Crash, you'd be gravitate towards it. And that, again, that like brand recognition and that nostalgia certainly plays a role in it. You know, Scott, like you said there, Crash 4 sold worse than the Insane Trilogy, partly because it didn't have that nostalgic factor of people going back to it.
And it was more. And there was free games in the Insane Trilogy. Like, so like there's those factors that play against it. Like Activision, like, oh, we can get some sales here. Let's just put one game out now. And then let's put the price up on that. So like, it's things like that where I feel like that got business screwed. And if it was like, say, more in line with the Insane Trilogy, it would have probably sold better.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if there's a difference between Ratchet and Clank, because obviously, you know, so many people love the Ratchet and Clank franchise, you know, that's like arguably, unless you're Ben Roy, as beloved as a Crash or a Spyro to people of a certain generation. Mm-hmm. But if this was like NAC 3. Like, no one's looking forward to NAC 3 at that price point, even if it looks as good as Ratchet and Clank does.
No one would buy NAC 3 for a tenner at this point.
Exactly. Doing well. So that's when the element of I sound like a broken record, man, but that's where the element of like that brand recognition comes in, and that playing into fandoms and being loyal to certain things, and then ultimately using your business sense to extract as much money from those people as possible to get your money's worth, you know? So.
Well, it is that conversation that they must, like, at some point they're going to have this conversation of, like, it's the back and forward of how much do we need to charge for this game to make sure our budget comes back and everything else, and how much can we get away with? Like, then that, how much can we get away with side of it was very much the PS3 era, and it completely bit them in the backside, and it didn't do very well for that entire generation. I don't want that to happen again.
Let me use an analogy of Resident Evil here. Like, would you rather have a game the quality of a Resident Evil 6 where it is almost 30 hours and you've got 4 campaigns and all that sort of stuff, or like a nice tight Resident Evil 7 where that's like that game's probably what, like first time around, like maybe a 9 hour, and it's a 5 hour when you get through
it's
it again.
Pretty tight,
like,
yeah
Josh, how you're almost through it again, aren't you? And it's like you're smashing through it now, right?
Yeah, blasting through it this time, you know.
And would you rather that, or would you rather the 6 model where it's just like, how about we just shove donuts in your mouth and you're going to keep going and it's never going to end? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and 7 ended up selling more than 6.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always like the, how can you tell the craftsmanship that's gone into it? Can you tell that it wasn't elongated and bloated? What are the design elements that you can pick apart and say, what is the core of this game? How has it been designed? And what parts did they elongate? What parts feel like they were stretched out to hit that invisible mandate of making sure it's worth a certain amount of time? And I feel like that's the thing, like I said, that comes up so much in the Ubisoft titles. And isn't really, Returnal is a crafted, like, immaculate experience for what they're going for. And I think that all of this stuff is a big talking point. The Resident Evil one is interesting because Resident Evil 7 is so tight. I remember finishing that game just thinking that could have been a really great movie or a couple of movies or something. But like, yeah, I guess in regards to like Resident Evil, Capcom know that they don't need to draw anything out. Like, it's going to be fine regardless.
They've learned their lessons. Let's put it that way. we've had some ups and downs, and they've gone too long, too short. But I think we're in the best place now, I'll say, the franchise has ever been. So, you know.
Ultimately, to bring it full circle, I guess, for the the question for this podcast is likely going to be, you know, has the price point killed Returnal? What do you guys think is the solution going forward? Is it just a base price point reduction thing? Is it something like a PS Plus trial? Like, is it that the game needs a bigger marketing push? Because I feel like Sony have kind of dropped the ball. Like, everyone knows Returnal exists, but it's just not really being played.
I think with them, you know, with Sony especially, again, I'm going to use this as a way to somehow plug Game Pass yet again. You know, if this was on Xbox and then you had, like, you know, this increased pricing or whatever, but you also had an alternative way to play it. If you had Game Pass where you could try it out, you know, you're still supporting the developers, you're still supporting Microsoft or whatever platform it's coming out on, but also you get, like, the barrier of entry is lowered. I don't think generally, you know, I'm in kind of like a paradox because on the one hand, I think Returnal is worth like £70, you know, but only if you've got £70 to spare, and only if that's not going to be like a huge financial dent, or if you haven't got a bunch of other games to play for. You know, it comes with all of these weird modifiers to that recommendation, and I think it ultimately will hurt it in the long run and hurt other genres like it, you know, that are trying to kind of, or developers like it that are trying to make a name for themselves, trying to break out into the AAA space proper. But when you have this high barrier for entry, it's going to end up with a lot of people just ignoring that game, or it becoming like a source of ridicule of people, you know, using it to bash on Sony more generally for having the hubris, like you said before, to increase the price in the first place. I don't really know what the solution is now because they've committed to it. It would feel weird to go back in it, but I do think they're going to get into a really weird position when Horizon Forbidden West comes out, and presumably God of War 2, when you've got these different versions of the game. You've got a PlayStation 4 version, you've got a PlayStation 5 version, and then they're really going to have to justify why the PlayStation 5 version is more expensive, you know? And I don't think they can just say, well, haptics, well, resolution and stuff, because it's like, we've already paid for the console to get that stuff. Like, that, why you also...
And the Xbox side will be doing that stuff for free. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
On that side.
And better.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's just, yeah, I think it's just a hell of a talking point. I think for me, like, they have access to PS Plus. They have this weird, like I said, hybrid approach to how they're marketing their games. They could have done a couple of biomes from Returnal, put that out on PS Plus, and then have the upgrade path if you want to keep playing, you know, because the end of the second world, you've seen a fair chunk of that game after the second boss or something. And hey, if you want to keep playing, it's a steep price point to pop on the screen, but that's your upgrade cost, and the full game's already maybe downloaded or something, and you just go from there. Sony, I feel, are yet to figure out the benefits of their monthly service in a way that Xbox do. And obviously Xbox's side is just, here's the full game because you're already on Game Pass. But I wonder if there's other ways to like split those revenue models up, or split like the access points up and things like that. But yes, let us know what you think. It's down in the comments below. Did you pick up Returnal? What do you think of it? And if you didn't, let us know why you didn't pick it up, because I think that's going to be the majority of people from the looks of it anyway. For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Turner.
I'm going to go to sleep now.
And Josh Brown.
Me too. I'm going to pull this blanket on me. Bye-bye.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.